Oh, our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 17. It begins, "At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, 'I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me.' Jesus answered, 'Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness.' So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him.'" Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's pray, shall we? Gracious God, today we ask you to put in our minds what our baptism was like and allow the words that were just read to bring that remembrance forward as we call upon the Spirit and we call upon you to bring us forth and answer those questions about who we are and why we're here. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been driving around the countryside. I have been listening to this book on discipleship. In my mind, I wanted something that would help me and help us expand our mission as Christians. I have listened through it once. Now I'm on my second time through because I know that I missed some of what the author was trying to get across. And as I listened, I thought to myself, have I done it all wrong? How I implement this discipleship process? Is it the correct way? The truth is that as I listened to what the author was saying, there was something that was repeated over and over again, which was this: what works in this town probably won't work in another town. But if you listen and you implement this process, you will see the fruits. I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but he gave some good points. And the reason I bring this up is for a couple of different reasons. First is this, that this Sunday is the baptism of the Lord. It is a day when we talk about the importance of baptism. It is about remembering your baptism, and it's about hearing this Cliff Notes version of Jesus' baptism from Matthew. And why is that important? Because through baptism, we are introduced, we are initiated into the body of Christ. And for some, that is probably a challenge. And why is that? Because many of us, including myself, we don't remember our baptism. But what we probably know is this, that as a baby, it happened. The water was sprinkled, the Holy Spirit was called upon, and we went on our way. Now, this is where it becomes a bit challenging, especially getting back to what I first spoke about, discipleship. Because as disciples, as members of the church, through the liturgy, we are called to walk alongside this person or child being baptized. We are supposed to help them grow into their faith. We are supposed to answer those tough questions. We are supposed to build this relationship with them. And we forget about that part. When we are asked, remember your baptism, it also means remember what we as a church were asked to do in that moment when the water touched that child's or person's head. This is why baptism is not a personal or private action. This is why there are godparents and sponsors. This is why we sit back and smile at what is taking place. This is why we only do it once. A few years ago, in one of the upper rooms, or upper room devotionals, there was a story that was told by a woman named Louise Wilson, and she was from Ohio. Here's what she wrote. On the first day of each community college art class I taught, I would ask the students to write a brief answer to the question, "Who are you?" She said that she was eager to read their responses. One year, there was this response that she had never forgotten, which said this, "I'm a child of God." Lois continues saying, this young woman's response, it left me in awe because she was so grounded in her faith. But on the other hand, it also made me think to myself, would I have replied in the same way? As I mentioned that story, let me ask you the same question today. Who are you? And how would you reply? Over the past couple of weeks, with everything that has been happening in and around my life, there are many things that I've been thinking about. I have thought about Jesus a lot and what he did with his short time here on earth, what he did in his 3 short years of ministry. And then I think about my life. I think about those in the church, those in my family, and here is what comes to mind. Life is short. This year I turned 50, or in other words, a half of century. I did that just to make myself sound a little bit older, of course. I was born in 1976, and let's say that I live until 2056, okay? Some would say that's a long life. A good life. It would be 80 years on this speck of rock floating through space. Just a small blip on the terrestrial landscape. Now, here is the thing many of you are probably thinking. Hey, Pastor, you are so young. You have a lot of life left in you. And my response would be this. Maybe, maybe not. Because in the end, none of it really makes a huge difference in the whole scheme of things. As I've said, we are here for a small amount of time. Our lives, by time standards, go by very quickly. To the universe, we are just a flash in the pan. But here's the thing. Throughout that short time here on this planet, we spend a majority of our time asking ourselves the same thing over and over again. And what do we ask ourselves? Who am I? And whether we do it or not, I am sure that there are a few of you right now going, that's not true. I've never asked myself that. But the truth is, maybe it isn't you. Or maybe you aren't aware of it. And I say this because maybe the question isn't the same verbiage. Maybe you say, I am what I do. And I do think that many of us answer this question in this manner because of how competitive the world is. Let's say this. You have a great success in life. You begin to feel good about yourself. And then it changes. You had it all planned out, and then something fails. What happens? You start to feel low. As you get older, you tell yourself, I can't do a whole lot anymore. But here is what I used to do. Let me show you what I built. Here are some pictures of my children and great-grandchildren. Look, here is what I've done. The reality when it comes to the question, who am I? There are other ways we might answer that question. Just like this. I am what other people say about me. I want us to take a moment and revert our minds back to when we were children. How many of you remember getting in trouble? I have stories. Now's not a time for them. How many of you blamed it on somebody else? Like, I didn't do that. It wasn't me, It was Timmy, right? How many of you still do something like that today? How many of you blame your problems on somebody else? Do you realize that what you say can be hurtful? But on the other hand, do you also realize that what other people say about us can also be very powerful? And sometimes those things can be very important. Let me ask you this question. Would you rather have somebody talking behind your back saying negative things, or would you rather have people say good things about you? Good things, right? But this is the world we live in. Have you ever gotten so many compliments about something, and then that one person, they didn't like it? They got upset? What happens? The only thing you think about is that one bad person saying that one bad thing. And this is nothing new. It will always be a part of life. It is something we all live in. What I'm saying is this. Be better humans. Right? The reality of all these things is this. These questions, the answers, it affects each one of us. It affects our lives, our happiness, who we are as people of God. It affects us in that manner too. There are many who hear these things and it causes major problems. They might obsess over wanting to please those around them, all because they want to survive. But then something happens. Are you ready for it? Plain and simple, we die. And when we die, talking stops. What matters? Who we matter to, well, it all begins to fade. All the things we have, all those ups and downs of just trying to survive in the world, none of it matters anymore. We end up with what we had at the beginning, which is this: nothing. The more I think about this life as being a follower of Christ, the more I think about how wrong our humanness is making it. When Jesus called his disciples, there weren't 20, there weren't 1,000, there weren't 1,000,000. There were 12. And it all started with him jumping into the river. Our environment has a major effect on each one of us. But our environment is not who we are. My environment is not who I am. Don't get me wrong here. We get caught up in the earthly things. We watch the violence. We see the destruction. We take what we think is ours. We send away what we think isn't. And there are some who cheer for more, and there are some who claim it isn't right. Then there are people who cheer for other people's misery, and others who live into the humility of that misery. And yet some claim they are Christian, and others who claim they are not. Friends, from the very beginning to Jesus walking into the water asking to be baptized, all he ever did is ask us one thing, which was this: to love one another. And yet we all have a hard time doing just that. And all this leads to our gospel lesson for this morning. Jesus coming to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And today, as Jesus came out of the water, something great happened. Heaven opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove resting on him, and a voice from heaven responding, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." After 30 long years, after learning, after exploring, we get to find out who Jesus really is. And what makes this story great is this: Jesus heard God's voice, and Jesus believed it. And he clung to it. He lived it out for the next 3 years of ministry, teaching, doing miracles, taking his Jewish self into places that others would not go. And because of that, there were people who saw what he did and they praised him. Then there were others who saw the same thing and they rejected him. When he entered Jerusalem for the last time on that colt, people shouted, "Hosanna!" And yet, just a few days later, those same people were yelling something totally different: "Crucify him!" And you know what? They did. They nailed him to a cross with a sign above that read, "Here is the King of the Jews." Even with all that torment, even with all those trying to take him down, Jesus, he held to the truth that he is the Son of God, that God loves him, and that through it all, God is and was pleased. All because Jesus never doubted. All because he had so much faith in his loving God that no one rejecting him, that everyone praising him, that those who laughed at him, those who spat on him, enabled him to live his life as fully as he could. And to him and God, that is all that mattered. So this morning, here's all I want you to take from this, if there's anything. That no matter what you have to deal with in your life, you are a child of God. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. God loves you. God is pleased with you. And there is something we all need to hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts too. The Holy Spirit has changed each and every one of you. All you have to do is this: remember your baptism. And remember why it matters. You are all loved. All people in this world are loved. As it says in 1 John, we love because God first loved us. So let me ask you again, who are you? Who am I? I am a child of God. Amen.